Hey there. Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast. I am so glad you're here. This show is for leaders who care. Leaders who know that when things get messy, the way we communicate makes all the difference. Every week, I sit down with incredible guests, founders, VPs, rising stars, to unpack real moments of today where communication matters. We talk about what works, what doesn't, and how you can lead conversations that create trust, movement, and momentum. Because in uncertain times like today, your words have weight. Let's use them well. Let's dive in. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak and Flow podcast, where we dive into unique experiences to help you and your team achieve maximum potential and flow, even when the stakes are high. Today, I have an exciting topic with an industry leader who's going to help us guide our insights, especially with a lot of data, scattered data everywhere. And so this is a fascinating topic, especially with AI on the forefront. He is a design leader. He's been in the industry for 2 decades or more. He's worked with Fortune 500 companies, large and even startups. And what he does do well is also he has a people-centric approach. And so I'm so glad that he's here. He's founder of Sepien AI, Jan Greenstein. Jan, hello.
Thank you. Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you for having.
I'm excited about this topic. Before we dive in, I'm actually just interested to learn, like, how did you even get into design in the first place? What do you love about it?
As I mentioned to you earlier, I fell in love with web design, as I said, probably at the worst time you can fall in love with a technology or an industry that it seems to be collapsing, because it was during the dot-com collapse, late 90s, early 2000s. And for me, as somebody who came from arts, I used to be a painter many, many years ago, got my associate's degree in graphic design, again, many, many years ago. And seeing how I could do this digitally now and not manually just felt like a revelation, if you will, to me. And then so I didn't care if I'm gonna make money in this. I didn't care if I'll ever have a job in that. I just wanted to design websites. And so I kind of went there, and eventually I dropped out of college, doing my BA in architecture interior design, and pursued becoming a web designer, which most people told me that I was an idiot, but I didn't care. Just loved it.
I love it. And you're the type of person I admire. And I think we need more people like that to take a step out to just falling in love with what you do. And then I feel like the money comes, or the success comes, and the fulfillment comes. And so how do you feel about now that you, because we've seen so much growth in terms of designing, and now you're taking designing even to another level with AI through Sepien. Yeah, what is that like for you?
There are a lot of memes about people like myself, right? The ones who grew up with no internet or no smartphones. And so it's almost like seeing this history on kind of unveiling right in front of your eyes, right?
Yeah.
Like I started in the design world, as I said. My first job as a designer, I was essentially designing menus and buttons. That was literally my job day in and day out. And then a couple of years later, I started actually designing websites. I became an award-winning designer, and then built an incredible career across 5 different countries and 3 different continents in that industry, working at the agencies and then working in the tech industry. And so for me, it's almost like a natural transition where we go from designing things to almost thinking about the arts and design, and that actually happens in front of our eyes. Now, I don't foresee that the industry, if you will, the designers will disappear, but it will definitely evolve.
Yeah. And that's great, because now you can be a true designer and save more time and doing the things that you love versus all the manual things that you don't as designers love as and enjoy as much, hopefully, right?
Yes. There's a lot of things now that you can do that you don't have to do the manual work or
Right.
the tedious work that typically people don't like.
But you had to, I mean, for you, I think that gives you a good blend as a leader because you have all that background and you have all that knowledge of doing it, and you also have the designer eye, but you also have a great communication. You know how to translate complex topics into someone like me that can understand. And so kudos to you. And so now what you're seeing in businesses and organizations, a lot of data, the scattered data all over the place. And for me, as a leader, we're constantly needing to make decisions, important decisions. And we might not have all the right information, data scattered everywhere. And for me, that's a high stakes moment. And we have to continue the path of growth as a company leader. Like, how do we do all of that? It feels like everything is so important and urgent, and how, and so people, I don't know, can you share a story about an organization who has made a decision without all the right information or scattered data and the consequences of that?
Sure. Before I do that, this year Atlassian put out a report. I think they're called the State of Work Report 2025, and they mentioned something interesting when they said that employees of organizations that have more data than they ever had before, but they are less informed than ever before. Now, the reasoning for that is we do have ample amounts of data. Information, data, stories, documentation, you name it, everywhere. And there's mountains of it. The problem typically that happens is there's not enough time, there's not enough resources, there's not enough knowledge about all of the information that exists within the organization. In recent research that I did, I discovered that on average, Fortune 500 organizations deploy anywhere between 270 to 300 applications internally. So each different division has its own set of tools that they have their own data that lives there. Other parts of the organization typically have no privy to that, or they don't know this thing even exists. And so, in a lot of cases, when top leadership makes decisions, when they make these decisions, they typically rely on information that they get from somebody lower than them. So, think about the CEO gets more information from their VPs, VPs get information from their directors. Directors get information from their managers, and the list goes on. There's almost like a chain of information flow, if you will, within the organizations. Now, the larger you become as an organization, the difficult it is to be connected to the lower level or to the raw data, if you will. By the time it gets to you, it got through probably a host of synthesis and a host of cleaning and a host of biases and a host of, oh, I want this feature to exist. I'm going to tweak this data or this information to be a bit more towards what feature I want or think we should have. So by the time you get to a point of the CEO or somebody at the top making the decision of what they should do on the product, oftentimes they might be misled with information that is not fully accurate or fully there. A case in point that you and I touched upon right before getting on this recording was the Sonos case. The Sonos case is fascinating to me personally because everything seemed to be super amazing happening to the company. I love the brand. I love the company. Granted, I don't have their speakers because I love Sony and I love Pioneer and I love other brands, but I still think they're an incredible brand. They have an incredible product. And they have a almost like a cult following of people that love their products and buy their products, right? But something happened early this year when I saw on the news that Sonos is imploding. CEO stepped down, dozens of people are being fired. They're reporting they're going into $20, $30 million damage control, reporting that they're going to miss their revenue by almost $200 million this year. I got fascinated. I'm like, why? What the hell happened there?
Right, so quickly.
Yes, it felt like it was an immediate thing that happened, but doing more research and talking to some people that used to work at Sonos, I discovered that there is a very specific process of that chain of information, if you will, that flows all the way to the top. And I am pretty sure, again, I never worked at Sonos, so I don't know their internal processes just from the conversations that I've had. But I'm pretty sure that by the time the information got to the top leadership, it was so distilled that some of the flaws and issues with their mobile application they were about to relaunch might not have been on the top subject conversation. And so they made a critical decision, as leadership typically does, to launch the application, even though it had some issues. But because they did that, their stock started to collapse. Rage among their customers online. CEO had to resign, and it just led to so much problems that, in my opinion, could have been avoided if the top leadership or somebody in that entire chain of process had an option to have an entire full view of what is happening across the entire organization and all of their and their entire product customer base.
Wow, that is amazing. And that's like only they're cheap. I don't know. They're probably getting information, like you said, down one chain of command. That would have, like you mentioned, like where there's more information across other verticals.
Yes, if you think about data within the organization, when you make decisions, right? Typically, you make decisions on a very specific piece of information that you have at your quote unquote fingertips. That information sometimes or oftentimes might not include other pieces of data that you have in the organization just because it's not even being considered, such as if I'm making a decision and I really love if your audience, so whoever is watching this podcast, will reach out to me on LinkedIn or somewhere else and tell me I am absolutely wrong here. Please do that. I
Challenge.
beg you. I challenge you. Here's what I see it. If a design team is making a decision on the product, so product team, which is consists to be of typically a designer or a design team, product managers, maybe customer experience, maybe engineering. When that product team is making a decision of which feature or function or anything to be done on their product in the next iteration or next release cycle or whatnot in their product, when they make the decision, I am pretty certain, almost to, I wouldn't say 100%, but 99.9%, that they do not include data that comes from their sales team. Data does not include that is coming from their maybe customer support, but not customer support person, but actual tickets. I'm pretty certain, I can bet that design teams do not read actual support tickets or actual sales motions and their conversations with potential customers and what is happening there. Or they do not have information from the top leadership, stakeholders, their visions, and whatnot that happens instantly, not when they hear about it at all hands of the company once a quarter or even once a month, right? And so a lot of these pieces of information are incredibly critical.
They're so critical, but there's so much of it, and it's
Yes.
scattered all over the place.
Yes. All data is it, the data lives everywhere. And when I used to work at different companies, I found that about almost 40 to 50% of data lives dormant somewhere in Google Docs, in Dropboxes, folders, or whatnot. And it's not something that are being flagged, read, understood, analyzed, or being p part of the bigger picture analysis.
Well, and then first of all, it's scattered all over the place. And then once you, if you do have the time to put it together, like you have to create, it takes a long time to put the dashboard, or, how do you synthesize it and put it all into information that is useful? And then it's constantly changing because now that you put the data together for this week, it's going to change next week and then the next month. And it's like, and then, oh, it's
There's
crazy.
no end.
There's no end.
Data is a living organism.
Yes, that's a good way to say it. That's a good way to say it.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so no wonder why when he made that decision, the too bad, I feel, yeah, that's so sad that he has to step down because he didn't have all the right information.
Yeah, there's so many different cases in the industry about companies making decisions with a lack of correct data or correct insights or incomplete insights. That's one of the issues that a lot of companies do have is they don't have full insights. They have a piece and they make a decision on it. Granted, our tech world, the software industry, have got used to iterative process, which is great. It should be that way. But it doesn't mean you have to shoot out products that are half-baked, unfunctional, buggy, or whatnot. And that's something that I think can be remedied when you make a better decision with a much better view of what is actually happening.
And this is important for me to notice too when it comes to communication, because when I'm training the teams, the leadership and their teams, we talk about how to have a cohesive message. We talk about how to have one voice, one call to action. But at the same time, like, we have to have the right data to feed. I mean, it can imagine if that one voice is the wrong voice because we don't have all the data and we don't have the right information from all across the different organizations and teams and things. So this is really helpful for me to learn and support, clients in understanding. And so, can you share with us, like, what are you excited about when you work with clients now? You're solving these, you have a proprietary process to help them to solve this issue. Can you tell us more?
Sure. I don't necessarily work on a day-to-day basis with our customers, but the system that we built is essentially built on top of a decision-making framework that I developed years ago. What we do is we connect into most of the organization's tooling, things like intercoms and Zendesks and Slacks and Notions of the world and Google Docs, I don't know, Google Analytics, it doesn't really matter. We integrate all these applications and we essentially ingest all this data on the fly. We structure everything, we synthesize everything, and we derive from all that scattered data what exactly is happening with our users, essentially finding the user issues based on things like behavioral tagging systems, emotional tagging systems, and technical. When we unify everything and then we show them the bigger picture of insights and recommendations on their products. What needs to be done, and it's all instant. You don't necessarily need to wait for an insight a week now. We're essentially solving a problem that existed for the last 30 some years that is exactly the same or slightly changed process of going from raw data to insight typically takes and have been for the last so many years, anywhere between 9 to 10 to 12 steps takes. Well, today takes a week. It used to take about 2 to 3 weeks or more. Today, with a lot of co-pilots and AI assistants and whatnot, in our research, we found that it takes about a week for a team instead of 2 to 3 weeks. What we found is we delivering this to our customers within 10 minutes rather than a week. So there's no more need for waiting for some sort of data to come up or some sort of insight to come up. Everything is a living organism, as I mentioned. Data is a living organism. It's constantly flowing. So whatever you synthesize today is no longer valid in 3 or 4 days because something changed with your customer, something changed with your industry, something changed with your product, and so forth.
Speak and flow. Give me the right information so I could speak it in flow. We got to get the right intelligence, the right data intelligence as a human, like, it's evolving, and then so I could speak it in flow. And I love that. I love that. And can you share a client story that you've been able to support? Oh, you said you don't work with the clients too much. But what is a result that you're excited about?
Well, one of the most exciting things that I have 2 examples actually. So one example is one of our customers. We managed to turn their 19,000 intercom conversations into just 300 insights within 10 minutes, essentially helping them understand what is actually happening with their customers on the customer success side and why some of the customers are asking to deactivate their accounts. And we helped them understand that the platform, not we, when I say we, I'm talking about a platform because we're not manually doing this.
Got it. You're right. Got it. Got it.
Yes, but when, our platform helped them to understand that some of their customers are asking to deactivate their accounts, they're not asking deactivate accounts because they don't like the product, but because they could not get to a specific piece of information within their product. Very simple, easy fix. So our platform essentially recommended what needs to be addressed. And so right now, our customer is essentially resolving the issues that will reduce the churn of their customers. Another example, what blew my mind, our own system that we built kind of surprised me in a way, where we have an e-commerce customer that sells online clothing. It's very easy for a lot of platforms, for a lot of tools to say your best reviewed product is X, put it above the fold on your website, right? So more people can see, more people can buy. In our case, in our platform, what our AI system discovered was and recommended was here's your highly reviewed products. Instead of saying to put it on above the fold so it's very easy for everyone to see, it started recommending actual specific placements across their websites based on the navigational pattern of their websites, where to place it so it's more visible as people navigate and shop for other products. In addition to that, it found that the company has a product that a lot of people complain about it being wrinkly very easily. And so our system recommended different materials to use in their garment to solve that problem, which is already branching out into a physical world of products, not even digital. That blew my mind.
I love that. I love that. I love it. That's great. That's so fascinating. I mean, it's just so fascinating. It's evolving so quickly. And like
Yes,
you said, it
yes.
helps us. Yeah, it helps us in so many ways that we wouldn't, like, we're just still scratching the surface.
You
But
know, we ran a study. We were just curious because our platform saves people dozens of hours per week. We've calculated that on an average team of about 20 people, we can save about 41,000 hours a year in their day-to-day work that needs to be done on data synthesis, analysis, derivative of insights, and so forth. Now, we sat back and like, hold on a second. We're saving so much time to people. We're curious what they're going to do with that time. So we ran a study and we found that most people responded that they will finally get to do strategic work and tasks they've been thinking to do and they never had the time to do.
Yes, I can see that. I can see that. I can see that.
I mean,
That's
granted, about 20 or so percent of people said they'll take longer lunches,
delicious.
which is great because it adds to their mental health and they can work and be more productive.
Yes, it's fascinating. I love it. I love what you do. And so if what would you like to share with the audience, if like we can remember any part of this, what is that one leadership golden takeaway? Because I'm ending with that because you talked about the people, right? What are
Yes.
people going to do with this new technology and what else can they do? So what would you like to share about leadership with them?
You know, I've been asked a lot being a mentor in the design industry if AI will replace people. And one of the things that I like to say is that AI is a tool. Just like when Figma came around and people are against it because they still love Photoshop. And so forth. I think AI will replace people that did not adapt AI and did not know how to use it. And so I think that it can make design, products, engineering, and other teams more productive, more effective, and more efficient. And to more design function that constantly battles of how do we prove our ROI? This is how. Because AI can actually track your specific ROI and how it's being delivered and then communicate it back to the leadership teams of how effective you are.
That's true. So they're able to be more strategic in their initiatives and then hopefully take some lunch.
Yes, longer lunch.
There you go. Not replace you. More
Yeah.
strategic, longer lunches, so work with AI, like as
Yes.
your partner.
Yes. We don't replace people, we supercharge them.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much, Jan. I had a really great time. I learned so much. I really appreciate your insights. And how can teams and companies, organizations get a hold of you if they wanted to learn more?
LinkedIn, probably the best place.
Okay.
Our website is very simple. It's sepien.ai, sepien with a C, CEPIEN .ai, or just find me on LinkedIn. Probably the
Awesome.
best way.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jan. I had a
Thank you
great
for having me.
time. And reach out. Thank you, audience, for being here. I trust you got your golden takeaway. And remember, anytime you have a chance to have a conversation, high stakes moments, get the right information and data, maybe through Sepien AI, and remember to make a positive difference in the world. Take care.
Always.
Always. Much love. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in today. If this conversation sparked something for you, if you're thinking, we talk a lot in our organization and things still fall through the cracks, we're not getting the results that we want, I've got something for you that might help. It's called the Accountability Self-Assessment, and it takes less than 60 seconds. In one quick review, you'll get real insights as to why accountability and results are slipping on your team. And you'll walk away with a legacy accountability card. It's a simple one-pager framework to help you and your team move talk to traction. Because the legacy of you and your team is built more than just meetings. It's built on clarity, consistency, and follow-through. So grab it today. Go to speakinflow.com or click on the link in the show notes. It's free, fast, and built for busy leaders like you. See you next time. Until then, keep communicating with impact and momentum.